Well, good morning, everybody. Time for church to start. So come on in, find a seat somewhere. It's good to have you this morning. Now, look, I don't know what your week was like this week. I don't know if it was a good week. I don't know if it was a bad week. I don't know if it was a normal week where everything was just kind of went as it usually does. But regardless what your week was like, we are still here in church today because we believe, amen. And we believe that no matter what our week was like, we come together and we celebrate Jesus because of who he is. And certainly because of the things that he does for us, right? So I want to encourage you this morning as we jump into our praise and worship today to celebrate Jesus this morning. Just let it out of your heart. Let's enjoy ourselves together today. Let's stand up on our feet and let's spend some time in worship together.
Hey! history. Your faithfulness is what beside me. The winter storms made a way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises and fulfillment.
today be the day that you say yes to the one who can change any situation, the one who can lift any burden, who can break any chain, who can open up any door that you need broken, who can mend any relationship. Let me just tell you about my Jesus this morning.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some.
Well, good morning, family of faith. Well, good morning, family of faith. It's good to have you. Good to see everybody this morning. Live streamers, wherever you're watching from, it's good to see you also. Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're at. We're going to take up our giving at this time. So if you need a tithe and offering envelope, they're in the chairs in front of you. If there's not one there, you can wave your hand around. The ushers have them. Also, the ushers have prayer cards that look like this. If you have a prayer need, we'd love to join with you in faith over that. So just ask for one of those from Al right there and fill it out. You give it to me after church, and we will join in with you on your prayer needs and believe that God. How many believe that God hears our prayer? Amen? So, yeah, we cast our cares upon him because he is a good God, good Father. So as you're giving this morning, we thank you for your giving and your faithfulness to the church, and that we believe that all things that come in, that we handle with stewardship and with wisdom, and God does beyond what we could understand and think with the things that come into the church. And we believe that everything we do, we are a part of what God is doing. In other words, the kingdom of God is going forth. Amen? Yes. So as you give today, that's what your giving goes towards. It's not just for the things that happen in our church. The lights are on today. That's because you're giving. And we have, coffee in the back. That's because you're giving. And things for our kids' church, that's because you're giving. But beyond the necessity kind of things, well, coffee's not, but, you know, the lights are, that God is doing things in the kingdom with the finances that come in. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I don't think there's going to be coffee in heaven. I mean, if you need coffee in the new heaven, new earth, I question. Anyways, I'm not going to say that. How many of you drink it just because you like the taste? That's weird, man. I don't know. That's just odd. I don't know. Anyways, before I go down that rabbit hole, let me pray over your giving today. If you have something, you can bring it down. Lord, we thank you as we continue our worship and our giving. That we honor you in everything in our life. That includes our finances. And you're teaching us so many different things with the things that you ask of us, Lord. And I pray that we're growing more and more into your image. And as we give today, that's part of it. And we thank you for an opportunity to do this morning. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen.
Well, amen. While you guys are bringing, you can bring it down, and I'm going to do a few announcements. Number one, we've got small groups kicking back up. I know that ours starts on Tuesday evenings right here at 7, but there's a whole list of them back there, and we would love for you guys to get involved. That is a great way to get connected and just grow your faith together. Every Monday night, we have prayer meeting right here at 6 p.m., and the Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. So why wouldn't we want to come together and pray and intercede for our city and our people of this house? We would love to have you guys come. It is a great time of just interceding for each other and for the church and for our cities. So that's at 6 o'clock every Monday. And then if you're new here, we are so excited to have you, first of all. But we would also love to get to know you better. And there is just one of these cards in your front seat. If you would fill that out and give it to Kelly or Margo right here. Kelly's downstairs with the baby, but she'll be back up. And we have a little gift for you, but we just want to connect with you. And there is also a pamphlet about our church in the back of the seats, too. And I just saw this. It says, you belong here. And we believe that. We believe that if you're here for today, it's for a reason. And we're just excited to have you. So if you can fill that out, that would be great.
And a couple more things to add to that. Guys, we are a little bit past the middle of August, but don't forget, for the men, we're in our August challenge of reading a chapter a day in the book of Proverbs. Okay, so keep on with that. Then in September, we'll get together and talk about that. Also, some things coming up in September, just so you're aware. The second Sunday of September, we have a vision casting Sunday. So this, if this is your family of faith, When church is over, we're going to stay a little extra. Service will be a little bit shorter than normal. But then I want to spend a few moments talking to you about some upcoming things for the church, tell you some things that we're headed for the rest of this year and into, I can't believe I'm going to say 2025, but that's what's happening. And so Vision Casting Sunday, that's the second Sunday of September. So if this is your family of faith, I encourage you to stay for that. Also in September, Friday, September 13th, we've rented out the bowling alley here in town. We do it once a year, so it's a free bowling night. All you got to do is show up and buy your own snacks. But we pay for the rain, the lane, the shoe rental and everything. So just bring your family. There'll be a sign-up sheet for that. We always enjoy doing that. So that's just September 13th, the Friday night here at the Southwest Bowl here in town. And last but not least, we signed up to have a part or a float in the yearly Urbana Hoopa Parade, which is the last Saturday of September. So if you want to be a part of either putting the float together or just being out with us that day and walking the parade and giving out church invite cards and passing out candy or whatever we do, there's a sign-up sheet at the back table for that also. So get your name on that. We'd just like to be connected to what's happening here in the town. And by the way, thanks for everybody that came out to Serve Week this week and the different things that we did. It was a good time, and I'm looking forward to not only the things that come from that, but also to build in your hearts that church is not just something we do, we just come together. We need to be a church on mission. In other words, we come together to be equipped together, then we go out into the world as a light to the world. You don't keep what you get.
That's right.
The cycle of the Christian faith is not just to receive, but after you receive, to go out and give what you receive. So we want to be a church on mission. So Serve Week wasn't just the things that we did, but hopefully to spark things in your heart to serve in your community. Because there was nothing we did that was elaborate or cost a bunch of money. We just did simple things, not only to let our neighborhood know that we're here, but also to let them know that we care and that we want to connect with them if that's their desire. So anyhow, thanks for everybody that participated in Serve Week. All right, having said that, let's get your Bibles out. If you brought a word, go ahead and get it out. John chapter 13, if you didn't bring a Bible, it's all right. We'll put the verses on the screen for you as we go along. But John chapter 13, we're in a series, and we're going to finish this up next Sunday, Hindrances to Growth. The Christian faith is not just a confession of faith. The Christian faith isn't just to say, I believe. You need to do that. How many of you believe? Okay. Well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the work of what we call the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I believe in those things wholeheartedly, so much so that I've given my life to it. But it's not just that we confess certain things, but your confession should change your what? Your life. That we live what we say we believe. In order to do that, there is growth involved. That from the moment that you come to your first moment of confession, I believe, and you ask for the forgiveness of your sins, as we were singing that song this morning, there is no sinner that Jesus can't save. Nobody's too far gone. When you come to that moment of realization, you confess your sins, and the Bible says he responds and he forgives you. Well, great, you're by technical terms, you're saved, you're a Christian, but now what? Now there is a life that follows, but the life that follows is a life that grows. In other words, you are changed. You become more like him. But the process of following Jesus, we will encounter things that may turn into hindrances to that growth. We've been talking about some different things over the last few weeks about that. So today, John chapter 13, let's read this passage together. We're going to read a few verses together here, and then let's talk about it. John chapter 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, now in other words, this is right before the crucifixion, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, and wiped them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus replied to him, "If I did not wash you, you have no share with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then not just my feet, but my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and that's why he said, "Not all of you are clean." And when he had washed their feet, he put on his outer garment and resumed to his place, and he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. But if then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." Now watch this. "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now, I'm not speaking to all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. But I'm telling you this now before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. And truly, truly, I say to you, whoever received the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." See, I think I got, is that Nehemiah back there? If you'll throw up that first slide, please. See, Jesus is our example in all things. Do you agree? Jesus is the prototype that we should follow. He's our example of how we live, how we think, the things that we do, how we react. He is our example. Now listen, including this. See, the Christian faith, we find that the servant, as Jesus said, is not greater than the master. And you got to think about this. Jesus, though he came to earth in human form, fully man and fully God, one of the paradoxes of our faith, he yet still is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yet he is still the one through whom all things that were made, that are made, have been made. He's creator. Jesus, God in flesh, gets down on his knees and washes the disciples' feet. You see, he is our example in all things, including this. And when he says the servant is not greater than the master, so kind of like this, Jesus is my master. He's the one whom I follow, and in no way am I greater than him. But if that's the case, the master whom I serve, well, he asked me to serve in this way. See, Jesus is not just doing this to set an example. This also foreshadows the cross, that he is going to give himself entirely up. One of the ways that we learn to pick up our cross daily and follow Jesus is to learn to serve like this. You see, it's in things like this that we're truly challenged with the question, how much do I really want to be like Jesus? It shows up with stuff like this. Yeah, well, I know I'm supposed to follow him. I know I'm supposed to emulate him. I know he's the one who's my example. But how far does it go for you? That's the question. Does it go this far? See, in the presence of Jesus, we're all still learners, no matter how long we've been in the faith. He's still teaching us. And again, the master whom you serve is asking you to serve this way. See, the feet of a person, the feet symbolize the dirtiness of their life. The feet symbolize the load that they carry around in their life as they live life and walk about life. And Jesus asks us to serve in such a way that we would wash somebody's feet knowing that they just may have some dirtiness, while knowing that they carry a load from the everyday living that they face that we may not even understand. But he asks us to put ourselves in such a way to serve other people. Your growth, everybody listen to what I'm about to say. Your growth in the Christian faith will entirely be hindered. I would say there's a ceiling on it unless you are willing to serve in this way. You will limit what God can do in you and certainly what God can do through you if you are not willing to serve others in this manner. Again, this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and here he is washing the dirty feet of the disciples. Those, listen to me, those who followed him and served him, he in turn flipped it. The kingdom of God turns everything upside down. There are too many people looking to be served and not enough people looking to serve. And the kingdom teaches us this is the way. The Christian faith simply entails service to others. It's about love. It's about an attitude that you have. It's about forgiveness. It's about the extra step. It's about prayer. It's about encouragement. It's about help. It's about being there. All the different ways that we can serve other people. And let me tell you why. Here's the kicker. You will never serve other people this way unless you learn how to value other people. You think about that. A hindrance to service to other people is because we simply don't value others. And a lot of times it's because you think you understand their dirtiness, so you don't want to touch them. See that? They're too much of a sinner for you. Why would I serve a sinner? Do you know how many times they come and complain about their problems? I'm just over it. You think about this. A creation that God made for these human beings that he created. So the world was created to sustain the people he put in it. Not just with what you need to live, but just the wonders of creation. To see things that are just really cool. Right? True? And what did that creation do in return? Reject God. Turn their back to him and decide, I don't need you to live this. I'm going to do it my way. You see? God never lost value in the humans he made, despite the dirtiness that they became and the load that they began to carry because of it. Then, so much so that he came in human form to save us. For God so what the world? Why? Value. He values people. While we were yet sinners, while we're still sinners, opposed to him, living life without him, Christ died for us. Why? He values you. It's only until you catch that kind of value to other people that you would willingly sit down and literally wash their feet in service to them. You see, let me tell you what this takes. This takes a whole bunch of humility. Let's see something Paul says. He makes his list. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Give you a second to turn there. Again, here's a little list Paul makes. He's throwing out some characteristics of the Christian faith. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I'll wait till we get it up on the screen. There it is. It says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. Paul is in chains at this point. Now watch with Paul. Paul is in chains, but he's not mad. He's not throwing a fit. He's not calling down fire from heaven to burn up the world and the guys who threw him into prison. Watch what he says. A prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Let's stop there for a second. The Christian life is a calling. It calls you out of something into something. The Christian life doesn't leave you where you are. It's a call. It calls you somewhere. You are saved from things, but you're saved to things. You see what I'm getting at? You've all been called, but how do we live a life worthy of that calling? Well, here's some things that Paul says. With all what? Humility. Circle it. Gentleness. Underline that. Patience. That's a good one. Bearing with one another, what? In love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen. Amen. You notice some things Paul's saying there, and one of them's humility. In other words, to live like Jesus takes a servant heart. You know what this deals directly with? I mean, it's just pride. We're simply too prideful to serve other people that way. You are called out of and into, and what you're called out of and into, you can't be prideful to get there. It will hinder growth in your life. As a matter of fact, I'll say this. I think people generally want positions of power. In the Christian faith, that turns into living in power and moving through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? But let me tell you something about that kind of power. Authority in the Christian faith rests through humility. Because authority without humility will be wrongly applied. You hear that? It's humility that will cause you to use and live and work in the power of the Holy Spirit in the way that Jesus asks us to. I am wary of people who always talk about moving in the power of God and doing this, that, and the other thing, and I see a lack of humility in their life. I'm very wary of it. Because I think sometimes it's not really about the other person, it's just about what they think they can do. When you have humility and you value other people, everything you do is about them. Not that you get to do something for God. In other words, it's emptying of yourself. And whenever you value the other person, everything you do because of them, what you do will be in its proper place. And it just simply goes against pride in your life. There's just no way around that. And this is how we're called to serve. By the way, I'll just throw this out too while we're on this. If you are like this to other people and your hands are down at their feet, you know what's going to happen to you from time to time? Somebody's going to step on your hand. That's truth. I got some scars, figuratively, as a pastor serving people who turn around and just step on your hand. It'll happen to you too. Goes along with the business. That we never become jaded by certain reactions from some people that you were simply just trying to serve the best you could. That you never stop serving because somebody stepped on your hand. The call of the Christian faith is to continue on. So in other words, you must purposely grow in humility and a servant heart, because we're simply just not that way. We are generally mostly concerned about who? Me. Right? And if you're a good father and mother, about your kids and your spouse too. But outside of that, as long as my family's doing good, I think we're good. The Christian faith turns everything away from yourself. And the willingness to serve in such a way where you simply just start thinking of yourself first. As a matter of fact, Philippians chapter number 2, let's turn there. Right after Ephesians, where we just were, one book back. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll go to verse number 1. Talking about putting others before ourselves. Philippians chapter 2. I'll wait for it to get up on the screen for you. And verse 1. And this is the call of the Christian faith. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord with one mind. And that leads to this. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to your own interest, but also the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Yes, you must look out to your own interest, but look out to the interest of others. Again, here we find Jesus is our example. To think of other people, to serve other people, to think of how to better other people's lives. Again, value is found here. So Nehemiah, if you'll throw up that second slide, please. Simple question right here. In each situation, how can I be a servant? In how you approach life, in the situations that you face, how can I be a servant to others in the situations that I face? If you can do that, let me tell you something. It changes everything. Absolutely everything. Because your perspective completely flips around. What can I do to be a servant to other people? And when you have that attitude, listen to me, you have that attitude, growth will happen in your life. Because you will see things differently. You will hear things differently. People won't be such a bother to you anymore. You see? You're not just about to get yours, what I deserve. You want the best for other people. Do you know that all ministry starts where? Your home. As a husband, how can I be a servant to my wife instead of hoping that she serves me? My kids in my house, as they're growing up, how can I be a servant to them versus just telling them what to do? You come to church. I hope you get something when you come, but also how can you serve? You're in your workplace. Yeah, you're there to earn your money because you got to get your money, but in what way can you shine the light of Jesus by being a servant to other people where you work? You show up to your next family reunion, hoping a quarter of them there don't talk to you. I'm kidding. I mean, everywhere you go, how can I be a servant? Listen to me, it will change everything. But it's in this that we're called. But I want to show you something. Go back to John chapter 13, where we started. John chapter 13 and verse 21. John chapter 13 and verse 21. After saying these things, so Jesus just finished washing their feet and said the things that he says. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit. And testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And we know the story. Now listen, Jesus washed all of the disciples' feet that were in the room. Is that what the scriptures say? Who was in the room when Jesus did it? Judas. Even when what we read before, Jesus was alluding to somebody here is going to betray me. He knew who it was, and he still washed his feet. The one that was about ready to turn, not just long after this, was going to turn him over to be crucified. Jesus knew that he was turning him in for some money. He was going to get paid to do this. And Jesus washed his feet. My gosh, that we could have, listen to me, that kind of humility. Did Judas not long after that step on Jesus' hand? Yes, he did. But it didn't stop Jesus from serving him. And I think what we need to do is we have to get rid of our excuses is why we don't have to serve somebody, even when that person literally is our enemy. You see that? That we would still be that much of an example of Jesus that we would literally get down and wash the feet of our enemy, knowing as soon as we're done, they're just going to step on our feet, our hands. You see what I'm getting at? That we have that kind of heart. Listen to me. If you can grow into that, I really believe what God can do with you is unlimited. You open yourself up to be used in every situation, in every single way, no matter who you're faced with. There'll be no excuses why you don't have to. This is where we're being called to. See, one more scripture, and Al's going to bring something down here for me. Acts chapter 20. And verse 35. In all things that I have shown you, that by working hard in this way we must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. And this is not recorded anywhere in the Gospels, but here's a tradition that was passed down, something that he said. How he set himself is more blessed to do what? To give than to do what?
Receive.
To receive. That we would live in such a manner that our hearts is not just to receive, but also what we can give. So I want to do something real fast. Thank you. Now, I have no pre-thought of whom, but I wanted to, as the pastor of this church, set an example for you. So Sandy, could I borrow you? Sandy's a member of our church. She doesn't get to church much because she has back pains. Okay. We're able to visit her on Thursday night and do some worship at her house. And she said she just got some injections to numb some pain in her back, and she felt good enough to come today. So I thought, wow. Would it be okay if I could wash your feet for a minute? That'd be okay? Is my desire as pastor of this church that you would serve in this manner. That first of all, you know, as pastor of this church, I'm not interested in you in serving me. It's not my heart. My heart is that you serve Jesus. I'm just a person. Yes, I have a position, I have authority, but that's not the point. What I want you to do is when it comes to people in your life, do this. And never be above doing this. Some of you have unforgiveness in your life towards somebody. Serve them. Some of you have issues towards certain kind of people. I'll go out of my way to start to serve them. You find ways to deal with things that stop you from ever the willingness to sit down and do this. Can we in our church be like this? Let me tell you something. A church on mission starts with hearts that are willing to do this. Because if we can't do this, we can't be on mission the way that God calls us to. So I want to encourage you to check your heart and be open to what the Holy Spirit would say of things to work on to get to a place where you're willing to do this. Amen? Amen? Thank you, Sandy. I'll bring your shoes back to you as we go. We're going to close out service today by praying for all of our kids as they're going back to school, so somebody can start gathering the kids' church to come up. But how about this? While we're waiting for them to come, let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you've come to serve us. You're the God of all, but yet you served us. We thank you for setting us such an example. I pray you grow us and you change us and you make us into people that are willing to serve in this manner. We want to be like you in all things. I'm going to ask real quick, if you keep your eyes closed and your head bowed. Maybe you didn't know that God was this way. Maybe you didn't know that God would come and serve the way he has, so much so to die on the cross. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to him. Maybe your heart is far from him. I'd like to give you an opportunity to give your life to him today. No question about it, it's to follow him. It's not just to say you believe, but it is to follow him. I'm no sugarcoating this. But if that's you today and you want the forgiveness of sins, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Anybody? Anybody here today? Anybody else? I saw one hand. Anybody else? Then how about let's do this. If you raised your hand, I'm not going to lead you in a prayer right now, but what I want you to do is just commit your heart to Jesus right now. And all you got to do is say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. All you got to do is just say, Lord, I confess that you are who you say you are. You are God and you are King. Just in this moment to say, and I'm going to do my best to follow you. Whatever it takes, whatever needs to happen, I want to follow you. Just let him know. And he responds to these kind of prayers. He hears. He forgives. He changes. I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, you saw the hands this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus that there's life change coming, not just forgiven, but life going forward in you, in all things. I thank you for that. Blessings upon them today, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if we got the kids, so all the kids that are here, they can open up that door and bring them in. I think they're out in the hallway. How about we have all the kids, teenagers, whatever age you are, come on down. We want to close out service by praying for them as they're heading back to school at this time. So come on down, kids. Just gather around front. If adults, if you can help me a little bit, just get them down here and get them lined up a little bit. I'd appreciate it. All right, y'all, just face me. Face me. Face me. Kind of spread out a little bit. Sawyer, come over this way. Whatever that is, tape to your head. All right. Jude, if you can help me kind of swing them over a little bit so we're not all jammed up on this side. All right, only believe we're a multi-generational church. We love the littlest of littlest to the oldest of the oldest. Amen? And as all these young people are headed back to school, maybe you've already started, we just want to pray blessing over you that you're going to have a good school year, a productive school year, that this school year is not going to be a struggle. And no matter what you're involved in, you're going to do well. Let me tell you something. Everybody look at me. God honors your work. Right? Yeah. And that means if you want God to honor your work, let me tell you what doesn't work. God, I didn't study. I'm going into my test right now. Help me. That doesn't work. But when you study, God honors your study. Amen? Why are you sitting down? You're going back to school. Come up here. Yeah, boom. Take some of that. Hope goes back to college on Tuesday. Where are you at in your schooling?
Freshman in college.
That's what I thought. I thought you were graduating. This guy visiting us. Where are you going to school at this year?
Cedarville.
Okay, cool. Well, it's good to have you. He's a Burkholder. The Burkholders fit in our church because how many siblings do you have?
Seven.
Yeah. Your family have been welcome here, all right? So there's a lot of Burkholders. Anyways, so how about we all stand up? If any of you want to come down and stand behind him and put your hands on him, let's do that. Let's come on down and pray for him. Amen. Oh, me. All right, Lord, I pray blessings on all the students here today. I pray, Lord, they have a good school year, a productive school year. I pray you honor their work, Lord. I pray for the areas that they struggle, you help them. For the issues they face during the school year, that you help them through. I pray in all things they learn to lean on you and to look to you and to allow you to lead them and guide them. I pray in all they do, Lord Jesus, that they honor you. I pray they live lives sanctified to you in their school places, Lord, and when they go to their sports practices and their games and all the stuff that they involve themselves in, Lord, that they're living a life that's honorable to you. And I pray in that, Lord, that they live their light for you, that they shine Jesus no matter where they go, Lord, and I thank you for that. So production of a good school year and learning what it means to be a light in our schools, I thank you that these young people will do that this year. Blessings upon all of them. I pray there's no agitation. There's no struggles through all of this. I pray wisdom for parents and all the decisions they have to make this year, strength for parents and patience for parents and all the things that go involved with the school year. I just know, Lord, that you're involved and you've got your hands on us and all these things. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. All right, how about this? All the kids, you stay here until your parents come pick you up from here. This is like our checkout from Kids Church. So all kids stay here, unless you're a teenager. And your name tags, take all your name tags off and lay them up here on the platform for me so we don't lose those. Lay them up here on the platform.